We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Super Tuesday, everybody. Great to have you with us, man. And I'll tell you what, we are still awaiting Lonzo. I really thought we were going to have some news by now on the Big Ten. This conference, your conference, has been completely and totally delinquent this entire time. What are you waiting on? What is the holdup here? Everybody needs to know the plan. It's freaking September, for crying out loud. What are we doing?
You know what it is? There was a media leak. Anytime there's a leak, it's like, we'll show you. We just won't do it. You think we're going to do something, we're not going to do it because we wanted to do it without you finding out. At least it seems that way. I'm disappointed in you. You got me hyped in the first hour. I believed that you were right, that we were going to find out by now. We haven't found anything else out yet.
We found out squats, and we were told that it was going to come down today. What are you going to come down with news at 10 p.m. at night? I mean, Big Ten, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Like, I just don't get it here. You know, like, even deciding not to play, but then sticking to your guns and being convicted and providing evidence and being transparent and open about it, I think people would be a lot more forgiving about that than this. We're going to come out with a schedule. Then right after we come out with a schedule, we're not going to play. Then we're going to say we're reconsidering. Then we're going to say there's new info that's come out when really nothing has changed. And now we're going to say we're going to have a vote. And then are we going to have a vote? Are we not going to have a vote? Like, legitimately, what is going on here? What is going on? Do you want to play or do you not want to play? Okay, it is mind-boggling to me that we don't have more direction. And this is the worst level, the worst example of leadership that I think we've ever seen. The Florida Gators, my alma mater, had six positive COVID-19 tests on the football team today. Oy. The Gators have also shut down the lacrosse program and another program on campus. Well, Mark Ryan, this is why the Big Ten isn't playing. Perhaps that is the case, but at least the SEC is giving it a go. At least the Big 12 and the ACC are giving it a go. If you give it a go and you're not able to adequately create a bubble for your players in some way, shape, or form, or convince them to behave more safely, you got a problem. And they're saying right now that the Gators game, September 26th against Ole Miss, is now in question. You know, high school football-wise, Boone had a positive case, and they're not playing their game. They're going to have to make that game up a little bit later in the season. But the Gators, six positive tests because of testing. Can you do that? They also paused all activity for baseball, the Gators did today. Oh, my God, Lonzo. 31 lacrosse players had COVID. 15 for baseball. Oh, my God.
How many players are on a lacrosse team?
Less than 31, right?
You said 31. I didn't know they had that many players.
All right.
You're really getting worried now, aren't you?
Yeah. Then they've announced that Florida will allow 2,000 students to attend games in the Swamp this fall, 12% of the 17,000-seat crowd. So 17,000 total fans, 2,000 are going to be students of those. Makes sense. You want to get as much money as you can from the donors. I get that at all. I get that completely. Bad news out of the University of Florida as it pertains to all this right now. And you know that the Big Ten is seeing this, and there's, you know, they're really between a rock and the hard place between what they think is the right thing to do, which is not playing, and what everybody else wants them to do, which is playing. And you've also heard me say on this show that if Donald Trump is the harbinger that changes the tide and gets the Big Ten to play, that could be the windfall that gets him reelected again come November. That could very well be the case. We will soon see. We will soon see, man. It is going to be fascinating. And where there's going to be a lot of breaking news, I think, between this moment and when we're on the air tomorrow. What is your prediction, ladies and gentlemen, on what we're going to see? Are we going to see a complete Big Ten return? Are we going to see a partial Big Ten return? Are we going to see no Big Ten return? Or are we going to see the Big Ten and the Pac-12 return in complete and total unison? Would be awesome to see, man. Would be absolutely positively awesome to see. Monday Night Football last night. Monday Night Football, I was transfixed. My folks have been asking me, Lonzo, Mark, are you watching any of these Netflix shows we recommend? And I said, not a one. Why not, Mark? Because sports are back. You kidding me? Because football is back. You know, I can kind of tape the NBA games, pause the NBA games, watch a quick show. But if you're giving me Monday Night Football, given as much as we've missed football, if you're giving me Sunday football, if you're giving me college football on Saturday, I don't know, man. I don't have time for Netflix shows when I've got all this great football on, man. Loved Monday Night Football last night. Dude, the Giants blow. God, they suck. Daniel Jones has a punchable face. I don't know what it is with that guy. He just, like, what is the problem
with
him?
He looks like Eli Manning. That's why it's punchable.
But he's even worse than Eli Manning. Like, at least Eli Manning could be funny. Like, this guy just seems like he has the personality of a foot. You know, like, I just don't get what the deal is with him. Like, he just, the players on the team can't like him. You know, I just, they suck, man. That, like, they're awful. And Saquon Barkley's talent is being wasted on that sorry-ass team.
There's nothing you can really say about the Giants. It's another one of those teams, like the Jets, the Giants. There are some teams that don't seem to be fixable, like the Cleveland Browns. No matter what talent is there, I don't know that there's a mentality, there's a curse or whatever, but they just can't seem to win anymore.
They looked awful. They looked awful in week one. Then in the second game, we had, boy, did we have some adventures. We had Denver and we had Tennessee. And, you know, I keep hearing from people Tennessee is going to be 9-7 again. Tennessee should damn well at this point be in the upper echelon in the AFC, should they not? You know, number two in the AFC is probably Baltimore. But shouldn't Tennessee at this point be the third best team in the league? They beat New England. They beat Baltimore in the playoffs last year. They beat both of those teams. They gave Ryan Tannehill a $25 million annual upgrade in terms of bringing him back. They should be really good this year, but they almost lost a very, very winnable game because Gostkowski missed three field goals and an extra point. Mike Vrabel, after the game, giving us a little coach speak here, after you missed three field goals and an extra point, any hesitancy about sending him out there for the game winner?
Nope. And they did, obviously, because they weren't using their timeouts and they were banking on him missing. And, you know, we all got to do our job. And again, it's not on just one player. You know, we'll get this stuff fixed. We got a lot of faith in our players. Excited to get out of here with a win. It's a tough place to play.
I was seeing Lonzo on social media today, man. People were doing their impression of Gostkowski and they're playing Madden. And they're doing the most off kick you could possibly do where the kick sails immediately to the left every time. And I just felt badly for that guy. I got to be honest with you guys. Do you ever psych yourself out of doing something athletically? Like, I can psych myself out of making a shot in a game of horse. And when I do that, it's always short. Like, I yip it, right? I yip the shot. I pull the string on it, and it's short. And I do that if everyone's like, oh, H-O-R-S, H-O-R-S, and you're feeling the pressure. And right at the last second as you're releasing the ball, you have a little yip in it. Chuck Knobloch in Major League Baseball, you remember that cat? Had such a yip, he couldn't even throw the ball from second base to first base, and it was entirely mental. He kept soaring them into the stands, and it's like, dude, what are you doing? Rick Ankiel, remember this cat? Was like a left-handed flamethrower, 98 miles an hour pitches, and he couldn't pitch anymore because he had no control. And the batters were literally terrified to step into the batter's box because the guy could not throw a strike anymore. Just mentally, he completely lost it. That happened to Goskowski last night. And I don't know what causes that to happen. I don't know how you fix it. All I can tell you is, and I don't know, has it happened to you guys in basketball? Like where you're nervous before you shoot, you get a little yip in the shot? It's happened to me. But never to the degree that Goskowski's like skiing all these balls all over the city of Denver, man. Never seen anything like that.
I can't help but wonder, since it was the last game of the first week, that he has seen how many kickers missed. And there were a ton of kickers missed and getting fired right and left and all that kind of stuff. I think that would get in my head more than anything, seeing that everybody who's doing what I'm doing, they're all missing too. But hey, he had enough confidence. Vrabel had enough confidence to stick him out there for the last kick. And I think his history, Goskowski being as good as he was over the past however long he's been kicking, I think that helped.
Well, the other thing, though, that's hard, Lonzo, is, like, think of the lack of patience for that position. He had one bad day, right?
Yeah, and it's getting worse. It
and
just
his
seems
job
this year,
is in
like,
jeopardy.
Boom, you're done. Yeah.
Okay, but think about our job, for example. If we had one bad show, I don't think our bosses would mention anything.
What's that?
Right, what's that? If we had a week of bad shows, then our bosses might say, hey, I noticed this week that the show didn't quite sound as peppy and as fun as it normally does. I think that would only happen after a week of bad shows. If we had a month of bad shows, then they might be saying, something's up with Mark, something's up with Lonzo, something's up here. And then if it continued, then our job would be in jeopardy, I think. But with kickers, if you have one bad day, your job's in jeopardy. And that's why I think these kickers can't get out of this funk. Because there's just so much pressure. Like, in your mind, all you're thinking is, I better make this or else. And that's no way to perform, man.
And when did this happen? Because growing up, it wasn't like that. It just seems, how many years has it been since suddenly it's like that? Because it wasn't like that. You had guys who would have a couple bad games and he'd still be on the team. It just seems like
You had a kicker and it was your kicker. It was your team's kicker. This is our kicker, right? Scott Norwood was the Bills kicker, and he missed the 47-yarder against the Giants. But he was the Bills kicker. He's our kicker. And now it just feels like teams rent, not buy, when it comes to their kickers. And it's the strangest thing in the world, man. You know, best kickers in the league, like Justin Tucker on the Ravens, how many games would they stick with him if he couldn't make a kick? He's been the best kicker in the league for 8 years. How many years would they stick with him? Weeks. I think three. If he couldn't make a kick in 3 weeks, I think he'd lose his job. You only have 3 weeks of job security for the best kickers in the league, man. Never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it.
Do you feel sorry for kickers, though?
No, I don't even think kicking should exist in football, Lonzo. So, I don't even think it should exist.
Maybe this is their way out.
There you go. Coming up next on the show, we will hear from Taylor Estes, 24/7 Sports. What is the drop-dead date for the Big Ten? That's next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Super Tuesday, everybody. Great to have you with us. Awaiting some breaking news, perhaps, on the Big Ten. Going to be fascinating. We've asked you your prediction on what we're going to see here this afternoon. Are we going to get a complete Big Ten? Are they going to stick with their initial no decision? Are we going to get a partial Big Ten? Or, Merry Christmas to you and I, are we going to get both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 by the end of the week? Joining us right now is one of my favorite people in the college football media landscape. Her name is Taylor Gaspar Estes, and she is the daughter of Rod Gaspar, who was a member of the 1969 World Series champion New York Mets. She is a 24/7 sports staff writer and a Horns 24/7 managing editor, and she joins us right now on the show. Taylor, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. It's great to catch up with you.
Great to catch up with you as well. Can I get your prediction, Taylor, with those four answer choices? What is going to happen here moving forward, the rest of today, the rest of the week, your best guess? Are we going to get a complete Big Ten, a partial Big Ten, no Big Ten or Pac-12, or a full Big Ten and a full Pac-12? What are you guessing, Taylor?
Oh, I don't know. That's such a tricky question because of how much this has changed and flip-flopped. You know, I've been kind of more critical of some of the decision makers in the Big Ten, especially because it just seems so weird how the whole situation went down.
It's haphazard, yeah. Isn't it? It's just been haphazard. The whole thing has just been kooky and weird. And like they come out with a schedule and then they're not going to play. Mm-hmm. Well, you just came out with a schedule. Nothing changed between when you came out. Like, what is the organization process over there? You know,
exactly. And like what I've been, you know, I've kind of been critical of Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, and even Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner. But there are two of the only Power Five commissioners who do not have previous college administration experience until they took on their role as the commissioners of those conferences. So I think that a lot of that is being shown in a lot of these decision making process. And I think, you know, I made an analogy recently on Twitter. It was kind of a joke, but not really, because I almost feel like the Big Ten, you know, they made this big schedule unveil. Then it was, 6 days later or fewer, they said that they were, you know, postponing the season until the spring. Well, then these other conferences, not all of them followed suit. And I feel like it's the kid that got picked last in, pickup sports, you know, that they get picked last. And then they're like, they're the ones that own the ball. So they're like, well, you know what? I'm going to take my ball and these people are going to follow me and I'm going to go away. And then they turn around and nobody's following them. They just found a new ball to play with. And I kind of now feel like that's what the Big Ten is. They're kind of coming back like, wait, is it too late to be a part of the pickup sports here? You know, I just kind of feel like that's a perfect analogy right now for what's going on, because they're seeing these other conferences play. They're seeing that, and while there have been postponements and all of the conferences that have agreed to play are fully expecting that, they are seeing that not every team is dealing with that. So I would say at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if there's no Big Ten, no Pac-12, to be honest, just because of how this has gone. But then it also wouldn't surprise me if they're like, all right, we're going to kick off the season like late October. Let's get this going. So I would probably err on the side of caution and say there's going to be no football from those two
conferences. You're still going no. Wow.
I just can't trust them. You know, I mean, they've proven, the one thing that they've proven time and again is their word means nothing. So I'm kind of like, oh, well, you know, I mean, at what point is it like shame on me for what, like believing that this actually could come to fruition?
Yeah, it's been a comedy of errors for the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and it's going to be really interesting to see what shakes out. They're revoting. I think the most unfortunate thing about this from my standpoint, Taylor, is just the only reason for the backtracking, for the boop, 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 the only reason is public perception, is PR.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, like,
yes,
they can say all they want, okay, things have changed, we've gotten myocarditis information and rapid testing, but to me, it just feels like caving to public pressure. And when you can't stand on your own laurels, number one, and if your laurels are wrong to begin with, number two, you just kind of, you know, you get no respect to me if you cave. Now, they should have played from the beginning, in my opinion, but,
right.
But you know, to just bow to public pressure and act like the picture of the virus has changed significantly in the last month is a bunch of BS to me.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, there's hardly any like facts that support that logic, you know? And so that's where it just makes it difficult to honestly believe anything that they're saying. And the other thing, I feel the biggest, you know, I feel so bad for a lot of these student athletes. You know, I keep going back to Joe Burrow when he tweeted the day that the Big Ten announced that they were going to postpone, that he had tweeted that day, he was like so sad for these athletes because if he didn't get the opportunity to play his senior season, he'd be looking for a job right now. And that's the first overall draft pick from the 2020 NFL
yes.
draft. I mean, there are substantial ramifications that come from this. It's not only about, I mean, we all want to see college football played. Like, I think most people love the pageantry and everything that comes with college football. However, these are people's careers that are potentially being impacted by this decision. And the fact that the Big Ten Conference really has been kind of keeping their decision making behind closed doors. We still don't, I feel like, know what had actually led to them making this decision to postpone the season. I feel like that is just inappropriate. Like, we talk about, you know, these student athletes needing to be paid. They need to be treated, you know, with respect and all of that. And it's like, this is the most disrespectful display, in my opinion, of what's happening with the Big Ten Conference.
Taylor Estes joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. To kind of provide closure to that discussion, Taylor, to me, let's go through the calendar here. What's the drop dead date in terms of when they could play? I thought it was going to be October 10th, because if you figure minimum 8-game season, right, 8-game regular season, that gets you to about December 6th, December 7th. Now let's assume that each team gets a 1-week mulligan where they can't play 1 week. That would get you to about the middle of December. Then you got to play a conference championship game maybe on like the 22nd. And then you got to be ready to play in the playoff potentially on January 1st. I mean, isn't October 10th the drop dead date? How could they start in late October? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it will be definitely tricky because then are they expecting the rest of the Power Five conferences that decided not to balk and change course out of nowhere? Are they going to be willing to postpone? Is the college football playoff going to be willing to postpone? Or is the Big Ten, and I'm not sure with the Pac-12, if I know everybody's been about the Big Ten recently since they're supposed to announce a vote or a decision, but I mean, are they just going to be playing in a separate football season, kind of how they would in spring, and not be considered for a college football playoff, you know, title or anything like that? That's a good point, because it makes it, I think that's the biggest questions right now. If they could play this fall, is what's going to be the ramifications for the other conferences that stuck together, that didn't hide decisions from one another, that were in constant communication? What are they going to feel? Because there comes a point where, I mean, you know, you may not agree with this, and that's fine, but like, I don't know if I would be cool if I was in the ACC, the SEC, or the Big 12 being like, sure, I'm going to cater to you guys after you did nothing to help us. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's going to be a tricky situation to deal with, too.
Well, yeah, because when they made the decision, all we were hearing from the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is, just wait, in a few days, you're going to be hearing every other conference fold shop, too. And that never happened. That never happened. Yeah. We were hearing that from coaches, presidents, administrators. And then, you know, look, right now you have egg on your face, and they got to figure out how to, I don't know how they're going to get out of this, Taylor, but they, you know, apparently sometime between now and the end of the show today, 7 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to have a decision. And I for one, can't wait for this. Taylor, what happened on Saturday to the Big 12? The Big 10 debacle, look. When you go 0-3 and then the conference that you lose against gets renamed the Fun Belt, it's never a good thing when the conference has been renamed after they play you, okay? It's never a good thing. And so Coastal Carolina over Kansas, Arkansas State over Kansas State, and then Louisiana, formerly the team that I would call Louisiana Laugh Out Loud, beat Iowa State. What's going on there? Is there any explanation for those performances?
You know, I don't know. And honestly, Mark, like, I was watching these games, and I kind of went into this week expecting sloppy play, to be honest, just because it's been a weird offseason. These are the first games that the conference has played. I wasn't expecting perfection by no means. However, I did not expect Iowa State to lose by 17 at home. And I didn't expect Kansas State to lose to Arkansas State at home. And I didn't expect Texas Tech, to be outscored by Houston Baptist 23-14 in the second half. I mean, those were some things where in Kansas, I mean, it's Kansas. So I could have been a coin flip to see who was going to win that game, in my opinion. But, you know, I think that it was just a culmination of, like, sloppy play, but also, especially in Iowa State's stance, I was really surprised to see Brock Purdy struggle the way that he did, especially if you watch College Game Day going into the game. I believe it was one of the Game Day analysts, I think it may have been David Pollack, that said that he believed that Brock Purdy was the best quarterback in the Big 12 Conference this season, and then he can't score more, you know, I mean, I think through one touchdown pass, I believe. So, I'm not sure there's an answer for it, but I'm also not sure I'm ready to sit there and be like, Iowa State's terrible, Kansas State's terrible, Texas Tech is terrible. I'm kind of going to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, and I probably sound like a Big 12 homer, and I'm not. But I'm going to give them a little benefit of the doubt to see how they can kind of turn around those week one upsets. And if we see that, you know, in the first games of the Big 12 Conference, then, yeah, then this is probably going to be an easy road for whichever teams decide to be the best teams of the Big 12, whether it's Oklahoma, we don't know what Oklahoma State is yet, or if it's Texas. But there were some head scratchers. I think the biggest one, though, in my opinion, was the Iowa State loss to Louisiana. Laugh out loud, as you said.
Yeah, there you go. And it was just so weird feeling because they were only down 10. There's 2 minutes to go, and Matt Campbell wasn't stopping the clock. I was just like, what is happening here? Dude, you're down 10. You hold them to a field goal. You get the ball back with a 145. You score a quick touchdown, and then you do an onside kick. I was just like, to concede at that point. And Matt Campbell has he's got a lot of fans. He's on every list of young up-and-coming coaches. I was shocked by that, Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. And I just looked. Brock Purdy did not throw a touchdown. So he was 16 of 35 for 145 yards. That's
awful.
Terrible.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the quote unquote best quarterback in the Big 12, then the Big 12 has some problems this season.
Brett McMurphy has tweeted here now that the Big 10, if they announce the plan to play, the first option is to play 8 games in 9 weeks, starting October 16th to 17th. The Big Ten title game would then be December 19th, the day before the college football playoff final rankings. If it can't start October 16th to 17th, the Big Ten would push back to the following weekend. But then you have no mulligan weeks. I don't know. I mean, you can't, to your point, Taylor, earlier, if I'm the other conferences, under no circumstances are we moving December 20th is the announcement date for the playoff. You have your ducks in a row. You have your business in order, or I'm sorry. right?
Yeah.
We're not moving this for you. You guys have been delayed. You're lucky we'll take you at all. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I totally agree. 100% agree. It's like, I'm sorry that you made the wrong decision, but let's not penalize the teams that made, at least at this point, the right decision with proceeding with this college football season.
I'll tell you, it sure is nice to see my alma mater and the team you cover with all these teams missing from the poll. Like, what are we, fifth and sixth, Florida and Texas? It sure is nice, isn't it? Is Texas, to you, a bona fide national title contender? Really impressive week one performance over UTEP.
You know, I'm hesitant. You know, I've covered this beat for a while now, Mark, and I'm just too hesitant, and I've been burned too many times by thinking Texas was legit based off of one game. I will say that I really thought that Texas put together a pretty complete performance against UTEP. Sam Ellinger, you know, I think he entered halftime with 424 passing yards and 5 touchdowns. But, I mean, let's just call it what it was. UTEP was one of the worst teams in college football last season. I believe they're 2-34 record over the last 3 seasons. So it's hard for me to anoint Texas as a potential college football playoff contender, especially if the Big Ten and Pac-12 do reenter the mix. I do think that there are some holes on Texas's roster, but in my opinion, there's no reason at this point that Texas should not be competing for a Big 12 title this season. I believe that Texas has, you know, they're one of the top returning experienced teams in the country from starting, but also, you know, with Texas's issues last season, they were required to rely on a ton of inexperienced talent on their roster. So overall, the experience on Texas's roster is among the top of the Big 12. There is no opinion, or there's no situation, unless, say, you know, heaven forbid that Sam Ellinger were to go down or something like that, that Tom Herman's team should not be in the Big 12 title. And in my opinion, if Texas is not in the Big 12 title game this season, then people need to be questioning if Tom Herman is the right coach to lead Texas to a championship level program.
Wow, there you go. What was your take, Taylor, on how college football translated on Saturday on television? Either no fans or limited fans, just kind of your take on the feel of it all.
You know, it felt weird a little bit, I think, when games first started. But I think once they kind of kicked off, it kind of felt normal for the first time in a long time. It felt like a sense of normalcy was there. Now, if you panned onto the crowd and there's nobody in the stands, or you see like the cardboard cutouts at some universities are doing, like at Texas, that looks a little strange. But I do think that a lot of the broadcast teams, I felt, did a really good job of amplifying the crowd noise for the broadcast, because it did kind of make it feel a little bit normal. I'm not sure if maybe they just upped the field mic volumes or what, or the crowd mic volumes. But I did feel that was a little, it was nice to kind of hear, you know, fans cheering and not just being in a dead atmosphere. But it was unique. You know, I mean, this was, at Texas, for instance, they're only credentialing about 14 to 20 media members per home game, because they have, their press box is pretty small, and so they have to, you know, spread everybody out. So it was weird, because I covered the UTEP game from home, because our site only gets one credential, where we normally have 3 people at every single game. So that was a unique aspect. I think I've only missed one Texas home game in the last, 9 seasons now that I've covered the program, and not being, like, in the press box. So that was a strange thing, but I did feel once the games got rolling, it did feel a little bit more normal, and I liked that normal, because I've been hoping for normal to come back to our country here after the last few months.
Yeah, same. And Taylor, I wanted to mention this to you. I'm trying to remember what this was you were tweeting about, but you had mentioned recently, and I was like, next time I have Taylor on, I'm going to talk to her about this. You mentioned recently that you posted something that resulted in you losing followers. What was that?
Oh, that's a... I was posting about 9/11, and it was about just how horrible the terrorist attack was in our country. You know, my brother is a Los Angeles County fireman, and so that hits home a lot, you know. And I mean, even with the wildfires going on in California, every single time, I feel like almost annually now, you know, I see things set on fire, and it hits home when you have family members who are first responders. So, yeah, I was tweeting about how we need to always remember the people that sacrifice their lives, especially the first responders. When everyone's pouring out of the World Trade Centers and these buildings that were on fire, they're the ones going into them. And I lost some followers over that. But I'm okay with losing followers over that, because
you know what? You know what?
Heroes.
I'll tell you something on this. They're absolutely heroes, Taylor. Anybody who paid the ultimate sacrifice, and anybody who risked their life to go in and try to save people. I think those people are national heroes forever. But I will share this with you. The behavior of people on social media has been so weird, like ever since like April, right? It's just been so weird. And Twitter has an analytics page. I look at it every so often, and it shows you like how many new followers you have every month. And basically, to you guys listening, your followers should essentially grow every single month, right? Because the people that are following you for a reason. They like your content. And then the goal is you just grow your web over time. Taylor, I kid you not. I had 2 months in May and June consecutively where I was in negative followers and I was tweeting. Okay. Negative followers. I think I was minus 40 something in May and minus 20 something in June. And I'm just like, you know, I'm looking at the other months. It was like plus 100, plus 250, plus 175, plus, you know, I think the worst one was like plus 60 something. And I'm just, what? Like people's behavior during this has been so weird and I don't get it. But I'm happy to say that this is the first month where I'm starting to see my usual growth again.
Hey, there you go. That's a positive. Yeah. And I think there's just been so many controversial and horrible things that we've seen recently. And I think social media is just the platform that people either want to hear it or they don't want to hear it, you know? And so if they don't want to hear it, they're going to unfollow you. And that's normal, but I think it's even more amplified when everyone's stuck at home, you know, and not really able to do much and be outside. So they're probably on, you know, social media more and more. And it's weird. I mean, I think that if I didn't have to have Twitter, I wouldn't, honestly. Like, if I didn't need it for work, I would not have a Twitter account because I just think it's a cesspool for the uninformed. But, I mean, it's just been a weird few months in general.
I think we need to come out with an ad campaign for Twitter, cesspool of the uninformed. I can't believe that we're not seeing that in Twitter's marketing efforts, Taylor.
Right?
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you, though. She is the managing editor for Horns 24/7, does a fantastic job on 24/7 Sports. One of my favorite people, Taylor Gasper Estes, joining us right here on the show. Taylor, thank you so much. Please stay well, all right?
All right, you too, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Either or starts right now. Game 7, Clippers, Nuggets, who wins? Lonzo, what do you got?
All right, so this is going to be an interesting game. By the way, you can hear it right here on ESPN Upstate following us in just about 14 minutes. I'm going with Denver.
And what? No, you're not. You just want the easiest route for LeBron James.
Oh, no, I just want you to be wrong. And you said the Clippers were going to win the whole thing, and if Denver wins, then you're wrong. But in truth, obviously there's a reason why it's a Game 7 is that Denver's better than people thought. By the way, the game that will be airing will be Miami and Boston.
Denver's got a ton of young talent, man. That kid Michael Porter, if you watched him, he plays like he has no brain sometimes. But he's incredibly athletic. Jamal Murray was on lockdown in this series for a few games. He's gotten untracked. And Jokic is just blossoming into a superstar right before our eyes, man. It's been a beautiful thing.
I keep watching Jokic, and it's like, why is it he's such a big deal? He looks lumbering. He doesn't look like, but that dude is good.
He's so damn good, and he's got the highest arcing three-point shot. But too much tonight. Too much depth from the Clippers. Too much D. They get Patrick Beverley back. Clippers win. I'm surprised it went seven. I will say this, but a Clippers win. Clippers win going away. What do you got?
I just think I hear some concern in your voice. I think I do.
Possibly. I think that's fair.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently President Trump is a Guns N' Roses fan and thinks November Rain is the greatest music video of all time. The revelation came out in a new book from former White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She writes that Trump wanted November Rain added to his rally playlist so badly he made her and other staffers watch the video in the Oval Office to prove his point. So, is the greatest music video of all time November Rain by Guns N' Roses, Michael Jackson's Thriller, or name another one?
Yeah, there isn't another one. And it's absolutely Michael Jackson Thriller. And the proof of that is this, Lonzo. I showed it to my kids as a high school teacher. They still got spooked. Like, that is the mark of a timeless video. That if you still get spooked, like my kids had their hands over their faces when I showed it to them. Thriller for the win. But I agree with the president. November Rain is dope, man. That is really dope.
That was a great video. It definitely was, and I like that song too. So it was. Are you shocked though? I'm a little shocked about.
Well, who wins though? Which one is your choice?
I'm going Thriller. I completely agree. But I am shocked about Trump being a GNR fan.
Why do we not have music videos anymore? Why do we not have music videos?
We do. We just don't watch them.
But nothing like Thriller. I mean, dude, when those used to be like they would stop network television for the release of Thriller. And it would be like the biggest event on CBS that night was they were going to have the network release of Thriller. I miss those days, man. I really do. All right, Lonzo, what else you got?
Okay, so you don't have any more. Okay, if you were a coach of the Lakers, would you play your centers again this season or stick with what's working now?
They would never see the floor again. JaVale McGee, his punk ass. No, he would never see the floor again. They play smarter without those cats in the game. And by the way, they never should have given away Zubats to the Clippers. That was a dumb move. He's a good young center, man, with some potential. But the Lakers are better without those guys. My take.
I agree. I mean, they didn't play them against Houston because they didn't need them, and Houston was playing small ball, which obviously didn't work. We'll see. If they face the Clippers, will they need them? I'm not so sure. You know what? I wouldn't play them either.
All right, here we go. My last one. The biggest competition for the Kansas City Chiefs this year is, and I'd be happy that I still have them at number one. I could have just deliberately tried to piss you off. The biggest competition will be the Ravens, the Saints, or the 49ers.
It's tough. It really is tough. And the fact that the 49ers lost this week was very much a surprise. Yeah, I know they've got some injuries, but that's part of football. I'm going to go with the Saints because that's what I think the Super Bowl is going to be, the Saints and the Chiefs.
You think the Saints are going?
I do.
Why? Why?
I just do because Drew Brees is gone after this year. He was thinking about retiring. We found out that he was thinking about retiring, and if he had, they would have went for Tom Brady, which sucks if you're Teddy Bridgewater. Now we know why he left, don't we? I think New Orleans. Brees knows it's his last year. I think he's gonna get there.
Lonzo says the Saints. I will say the Ravens. The Ravens with Lamar Jackson are going to be a pain. They're going to be a bear to get over this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Still the favorite though, and it's just about sizing up the rest of the competition in the National Football League. We'll close the show with a take to take with you coming your way next right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.